Clive Brooks, Coventry Hospital Radio.
Coming up next on the show, we have our health and well-being chat with Talking Therapy.
Hello and welcome to another Talking Therapy chat, the show where we explore the stories of professionalism who make communication possible in life-changing ways. I'm your host, Clive Brooks, and today we're diving into the fascinating and incredible important topic, interpreting in mental health care. Joining me today is Katharina, and she's a Russian and Ukraine interpreter working for Talking Therapies here in Coventry. Katharina, welcome to the show. How do I say your last name?
Hi, Clive, and I'm really pleased to be here. It's a lovely studio and finally to meet you. So my surname is Zeviluk. It's a Polish origin, but I'm a Ukrainian, and I've been living in the UK for the past, I think it's about 13 years now.
Oh, being dyslexic, I can't seem to read hard names to say. I don't know why.
You know, they, in Ukrainian, it's a very complex surname, so yeah. Don't worry about that.
Well, I get confused with Smith and Jones, so it's okay. So you say you've been in England for how many years again, sorry?
About 13 years this year.
13 years. Yeah. And you've been doing Talking Therapy for...
Actually, I've joined Talking Therapy relatively recently in January, as it was a pilot project, and I'm a part of the team, part of our communications team as well, as a in-house interpreter for Russian and Ukrainian languages.
So, what brought you to the UK, but what also inspired you to be with Talking Therapies?
So what brought me here, it's my family situation. My husband is from the UK, and well, it's another probably topic for for conversation, but my husband is from here, so I moved here because I'm married. I got married, and it was like quite a long time it took us to be together. It took us about 3 years with all the visa issues, and I was interpreter for my education. I'm an interpreter, but my, you gonna laugh, but my first language was Greek.
Okay.
Yeah, Greek and English. Apparently, you know, English. Now English is kind of took over, obviously, here in the UK. And I do enjoy it. I do enjoy interpreting. I do enjoy talking to different people. I was always worked in different jobs or positions, companies with international background.
So you've been here, your first language is Greek, and then you learn English, which is, now you speak English, better than me, which is good.
Thank you.
And you've been with Talking Therapies since January. On the show, I've been talking to Talking Therapies now for about 6 or 7 months, at least once every couple of weeks, and we talk about the great work they do around Coventry, Warwick and Solihull. So I understand that you help Ukraine, Russian Ukrainians, in their therapy as well, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So how it began, first of all, I was looking for something a bit more like move on in my career. So before, I was working as a freelance interpreter, and I was working for NHS in generally. So every day I would have different assignments. It was quite stressful, I'd say. And then I thought, then I found this advertisement on NHS website, and I decided to apply. It was the last day, I think, where I could apply for this position. But, you know, it's a luck. It's just whatever meant to be for you, it will happen. Anyway, so it was the last day, and I did. Then I had a nice interview with other managers. And then it took a bit of a while for all the checks at EBS and everything, all my recommendations. All my qualifications, everything that we're checking, everything. So it took about 6 months for me to start.
Yeah.
So I would say that I'm with NHS now and with a Talking Therapist since like for the past year, as it was a training involved as well before that. So it's like a pilot project for the in-house interpreter. I think they're doing it for the first time, but I find it so beneficial as interpreter, because when you're on assignments, every time you meet different clients, different patients, and you don't know their background, you don't know their story behind, and it's every time it's like on the spot, you just need to be ready for everything. You don't know what you're ready for, but this is such a nice and balanced work where you come and you know your clients, you get to know them a bit better. And in therapies, especially in mental health, it's very important just to follow up and to build those relationships.
Yeah, you touched on it there in the mental health and that lot. I suppose with all the conflicts going on at the moment in Ukraine and with Russia, I don't want to get into the pros and cons of it. I suppose the upturn of people having therapy is really significant, especially in the UK coming over.
Yes, so I guess the project also, they were thinking to have someone, because there so many Ukrainians came over the past 3 years. Now it's the fourth year of this invasion. And yes, there are lots of people who need therapy, who needs help, and not many people. Even I didn't know about this lovely service that you can go to NHS, and it's a free service where you can get help you need it. So in terms of Ukrainian and Russian language, this is another thing that is a bit tricky, because part of Ukraine, they are Russian speakers, and part of Ukraine are Ukrainian speakers. And for me, I find it beneficial as I can offer both languages at a native level, without any judgment, because it's a very sensitive topic in Ukraine, where some people are very particular that we want Ukrainian language at the session, for instance, and some are Russian, and they said, but we want Ukrainian person to interpret for us. So that was like, yeah, I can see a lot of benefits in that.
Yeah, it must be really hard, isn't it? Because I knew I was going to be chatting to you today, and I was speaking to my daughter, and I tried to explain what's happened in the UK and Russia, but I also tried to explain that Ukraine used to be part of Russia, so you would have Russian-speaking older generation and then Ukraine-speaking generation as well, mixing everyday life, wouldn't you?
That's not exactly that. It's more like, because yes, Ukraine was a part of Soviet Union, as you know, until 1991, let's say. And then it's just split. But I grew up in a quite Russian speak. It's just, for me, it's these two languages are both native.
Yes.
It depends what part of Ukraine you're in. If you are more Western Ukraine, you would be more pro-Ukrainian, more nationalistic, I'd say. If you're from the central, from the capital city, as I am, we would use Russian and Ukrainian on a very educated level, because they're just languages. I always say that Russian language doesn't belong to Russia. So there's a like conflict. We honestly, it's a very important topic to discuss about the languages and how people use it against and try to play this mind games that, oh, you're not proper Ukrainian because you speak Russian. But I think as a linguist, as many languages you know is better.
Yeah, we have that in Coventry. If you call a batch a bread roll, not a batch, you're not a proper Coventry City person. So if you have like a ham and cheese batch or bread roll, it's called a batch in Coventry, you see?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you see? So if you don't say batch, it's like, oh, I can't have that. So
that's the case, but now it's even more so because it's a political situation and it's a invasion, and it's even more so kind of sort of manipulation with people.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be. So how do you prepare for interpreting session in the mental health context?
Well, I did have experience before that, as I worked with mental health, like a care home for mental health. Primarily it was dementia and schizophrenia, so it was more serious. So I kind of got used to that, what can be, how to behave, how to listen to people. And how I prepare, usually I need to know, I ask the therapist first if they want to tell me something. I need to know before that. It helps to know the background of the person, because I also, as I said, I interpret Russian language, and I do interpret people from all over the world, really. So it can be from Latvia, Lithuania, Georgia. They can also speak Russian.
Yeah.
And from Russia themselves. So it's like I ask them, where are they from? So then I know their mentality a little bit more, and I might ask about some issues they come to work on. What are we dealing with? Stress, anxiety, what is it related to? So they briefly tell me what's going on, and yeah, it helps. So then I know what to expect at the session, how can I help in the best possible way.
Yeah, and you said earlier, it's non-judgmental. So even though you are from Ukraine, you have no judgment against anyone who speaks Russian or Ukraine.
Not at all. And plus, I think it's beneficial for me if I would come, for instance, 3 years ago or recently. I've been living here for the past 13 years. And my husband as well, he's foreigner. So we're not like, we're just like a little Ukrainian family, just no. Everything. Our family is very multicultural. So that helps as well. I don't judge people about that. For me, I can't say, I always say, yes, I'm Ukrainian, but I was raised, educated in Ukraine, but I live here, you know, so I'm part of this society as well. And so I never judge people. I just ask them how they are. And it depends on the generation as well. So if the person is about maybe 60, in their 50s and 60s, I understand that their mentality may differ because they used to live in the Soviet Union a bit more, like my parents. So it does help. It does help that to know about the background. And I never judge people. Whatever's comfortable for them, to be honest.
Which is brilliant. So how do you support the therapies and the patients during their appointment, maintaining accuracy and confidentiality? So I suppose if I think about this, so the therapy person is doing the therapy and you're translating the questions and the answers. That how it works? Or are you doing the therapy as well as doing...
Okay, I get it. So I work along with a therapist. And it's a very interesting and challenging job for me. I do enjoy it. Every session I enjoy, I look forward to, I prepare, I'm excited about the session. Of course, there's some disturbing information I can hear, but I understand that is part of the job. And what we do, we help. So how I work, how the day looks like, for instance, I have a session. It can be face-to-face session, can be phone session or video call. But mainly it's a video. Video calls that I work with. So I try to watch the therapist, how they behave, how they handle themselves, what kind of pace with what kind of conversation they you know, even the tone, yeah, voice tone, the body language they use. So I try to mirror them in a way, because I don't want to be out of context or be like a separate person they're talking to. They shouldn't see that barrier. So the therapist just starts the conversation, I interpret along. It's a consequence interpretation I use.
Okay.
And then it just goes with the flow. So they say the sentence, I interpret to the therapist. Then the therapist asks questions. It's not technical. The sessions looks like it's just the conversation in a good, healthy environment, safe. We try to relax our clients, try to make them comfortable with us.
So it'd be like the same sort of setting we're doing now,
yes,
I'm talking,
yeah,
to you, but there'd be a third person what would try and relay what I'm saying to you, maybe in better English when I'm saying it, but that's sort of, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just said that you hear some disturbing sentences. How do you deal with that as a person? How does that affect you as... On a personal level, or are you able to, at the end of the day, take your interpreter hat off and put it down and just move away with life? Or do you have to do therapy yourself, or do you have to talk to people to help you along with it?
I think it's this job's not for everyone. I'd say you can't just be just the interpreter, come to the session, and sometimes you hear something really disturbing, and you're just a human being. You just don't know if you're not prepared to that, but. My experience in the mental health entity helped me a lot, and I'm interested in myself in the psychology, so I just try to help. Of course, I don't take it personally. I do listen to, I see how the therapist again, how they're behaving, how they're handling things. You can't be over emotional, but at the same time, you also need to show that sympathy, that you understand the situation. So it's going to be, it should be that balance everywhere. As I always say, it's balance in life is best. And then I can't be like too emotional or too like, oh my God, or too nervous or show my emotions too much.
Yeah.
It's just certain, you know, certain things you get used to. And I think I handle it well.
Brilliant. We're going to come straight back after this.
Clive Brooks, Coventry Hospital Radio.
Saying Katharina?
Yeah.
I've got to make sure I say it right, sorry. So what are some of the challenges you face when interpreting in the therapy sessions?
I'd say the challenge is sometimes some clients, they speak a bit of English, right? And then, or we need interpreter, we booked interpreter, but we can manage, and they try to use English as well, okay, as with me. And I'm thinking, do you really need my help or not? So, but I can't say that, as long as they're comfortable with that. But you know, people with anxieties, for instance, low mood, but mainly very like anxious people, they want to take under control the conversation,
yeah,
and I allow them to do that. And if they just sit quietly and listen to, I need to be very focused, because you know, sometimes they use words in the wrong way, or they don't know the word, and they ask me for my assistance more, and they, oh, can you tell me how to say, or they switch into Russian or Ukrainian, and then it's like a flow, very long sentence that I need to also catch up on and memorize. So that's kind of challenge, because for me it's better when I just work with one or two, like two languages, not just some words, separate words or separate sentences. But we had those situations. And for therapists, it's a bit tricky, because I said, because I understand what they mean. Yep. But I don't know if the therapist, if there's a native speaker, they understand. And I pick up on mistakes, but obviously I can't tell them that it's a bit wrong. Yeah, that's
I'm really conscious that I've got my new teeth in, so sometimes I'm saying things wrong, I'm thinking, oh no. I suppose it's really difficult, isn't it? So if we have a conversation in English, then they switch to a couple of phrases in Russian, then they go switch to, yeah, Ukraine, then go back to English, but the wrong words. How on earth do you deal with that?
I just try to give the main idea, main meaning. I pause and I think, okay, I'm going to just interpret it like this. So the meaning, or I repeat. And I tell our clients, I said, I'm going to repeat the sentence, even if you understand, maybe 50%, but let me just repeat again in a nice language for you in a native. So you're not focusing. It's also stressful, you know, sometimes for the client to focus on some words. I can see, yeah, how they struggle, but this is part of that mental... you know, they're not in, you know, they want to be in control. It's just that sometimes we deal with, so.
Yeah, it must be really hard. I can see you looking at me thinking, I wish you'd speak English, but I'm trying to. What role does cultural understanding play in your work? So what role does it play?
The cultural understanding is to just to be quite open and diverse. And my family, my like international family, really helped me with that. Knowing different people, different background. I do understand. I just it helps me to understand the cultural of both sides, and Ukrainians, Russians, Latvians. Have lots of friends. So it's just knowing the history as well. Just really understanding people, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose that's the same every walking day in life, isn't it? Making sure you just understand the person you're talking to, and how to help.
Also, not to stereotype. You know, I'm not living in that bubble of just one culture. It's very multicultural, and you know, the United Kingdom is very, you know, multicultural.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's like you come here, and for me, maybe it was a shocking thing when I arrived here, and there's so many different people, cultures, religions, food, everything. And then you kind of, you live with it, and you say, wow, that's really amazing.
It is fantastic. But how do you feel your work helps a patient's well-being, and how do you think it helps their access to mental health services? So how do you think you'll work out some to get the right mental health services they need?
You mean like promotion?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. So are there any particular insights or experiences you'd like to share about working in this field?
I do feel, you know, even for my personal well-being, it helped, because I work with different types of therapists, and they have different approach. They have different techniques that I'm learning from. So it's not like I'm not like a machine there, just, you know, interpreting word by word and that's it. So you give that emotional support to the client, working with a therapist, and it's very friendly kind of nature of our sessions. What I find beneficial as well, as you always have the same interpreter for every session.
Okay, that's really important, isn't
that's
it?
That's very important, especially for mental health. It's just like, the person, especially imagine with anxiety or with depression, every time they would have to say the same story maybe and their background, and this every time is a new person coming in. So when you have one person interpreting for you is the same as you work with your therapist.
I suppose also that brings up trust as well, and they can feel like they can trust you now because they've worked with you a number of times.
Yeah, exactly, yes. It's like a little group of three every time with different clients. And we start talking about life sometimes, and they share, and they're like, oh my God, really looking forward to see you next week. It's become part of their routine.
Yeah.
Because with interpretive, you have a bit more sessions than I think any like foreign national, they would have more sessions than the local people because they, for them it's easier.
Yeah.
We need to handle a bit more and work on more sessions.
Yeah, because you wouldn't get so much done within the time, would you? Because obviously when
it's
you're trying to...
It's double the time.
Yes, double the time in the shortest time, isn't it, really? So I suppose, we don't really think about... I never thought about the difficulties with a non-English speaking person to have therapy in England, because it must be really hard. Like you said, they got to tell you, then you have to relate to the therapist, who then's got to process it and then not give you the answers, but tell you, ask the next question. You have to give it to the person having the session. Then it must take a lot of time to get that balance right, and also to get that partnership working right, so you know how to deal with it and how to ask it and how to, like you said, how to mirror the therapist. So do you work with the therapist beforehand, or do you just go and meet him on that day and then start that way?
I usually come on that day. So if they want to say, maybe catch up for 10 minutes before the session and ask them what's the background, or what would you expect from the session, how long it's going to last. So they tell me briefly, and then we just see how it goes. But, you know, therapists, they're amazing professionals in our service. And they're just very calm, and they need to be, you know, they just give all in, and it's really nice and comfortable and safe environment to work in.
Yeah, I mean, the talking therapists I've met by doing this on my show, they're all really good, ain't they? They're all really nice people, and they let you talk and that, which is really good. Before I let you go, because I know I'm nearly running out of time, is there any message you'd like to give out to the people listening to the show who may need an interpreter to help with therapy?
I think many people, maybe they might be afraid. If they're foreigners, you can always request the interpreter for yourself, and it's nice. It's not going to be anything that it's confidential, so no one's going to talk or discuss. The interpreter cannot, because we're obliged with the DBS, and it's just nice to have someone who understands you. Even the English is pretty much okay, you can understand it, but better, especially in the therapies, it's better to have that service available, and just to come along and be open, be safe, make sure, like, we will, it's amazing service. Even I would try it maybe one day, but it's just something another level, to be honest, just to have that safe environment,
which is brilliant. And like I always say when I do these segments, if you are sitting here and you are thinking, I need a bit of help, I think, if you just go onto the website and just go onto the internet and look at a website, Coventry, Warwickshire and Solihull Talking Therapies, or just put in Google Talking Therapies, Coventry, Warwickshire, and it will come up with a link to their site. You'll be able to find it there easily. And you have so many different ways. You can refer yourself from the doctor. You can self-refer. You can click their little chatbot things, which is brilliant. And you can have a conversation, ask you questions. You give them the answers, and that diverts you to where they think you may need help. So it's Coventry and Warwickshire and Solihull Talking Therapies on the internet. Katharina, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. It was brilliant.
I hope you could understand my English with my new teeth.
But
you've been listening.
I'm from, I'm from Birmingham, so I can, if I understand Birmingham accent, I understand anything.
You shouldn't have said that. Now, you see, my whole interview with the chain being from Birmingham, my wife's from Birmingham, and I think I do a bit of therapy, because I realise every time she says to me, every day, I know I'm in trouble. So we had to talk. So yeah, but you've been listening to me, Clive Brooks, my guest, Katharina. Again, say your last name for me, please.
Zeveluk, Katharina Zeveluk.
And she is a Russian-Ukraine interpreter, and she's been working with Talking Therapy since January this year. Thank you, Rich, and I'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Clive Brooks, Coventry Hospital Radio.